hard to believe still, you know. It's a huge honor, and, you know, when I was a little boy growing up here in Finland, you know, if somebody would tell me that I'm going to be in a Hockey Hall of Fame in one day, it would be really, really hard to believe that. So I'm so happy right now.
You are now one of the newest inductees into the Hockey Hall of Fame in November.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Well, you should believe it because it's well deserved.
Well, I can't thank you enough. It's the ultimate prize right here. So that's incredible.
No doubt. I mean, I look at Mark Recchi and what he's done. He was here in Tampa for a short period of time. I got to know him a little bit, and I respected the fact that, you know, this is a guy that loved the game and wanted to play. And no matter where he was going to go, he was going to be a difference. So, it'll be a fun weekend.
There you have it, the three old dudes who played deep into their careers, into the age of 40. Timo Solani, Mark Recchi getting the news yesterday. Dave Andrichuk with us about 90 minutes ago on this show, along with the baby, Paul Kariya, plus Daniel Goyette and builders Claire Drake and Jeremy Jacobs, owner of the Boston Bruins. Welcome back, Melnick, in the afternoon on TSN 690, along with Mitch Gallo and Dave Trentadue in for Rod Francis. We'll talk to Pierre LeBrun after 6. Normally, we talk to Michael Farber, award-winning writer and broadcaster, every Monday after 6. Michael is a little busy with his duties as a member of that Hall of Fame selection committee, so he's talking to us right now. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What'd you think of the class?
I think a lot of people, and we do this every year, there are a lot of people who initially they're going, Dave Andrichuk, I don't know about that. But I hope they were listening when I talked to them. Between the ages of 20 and 30, I don't know how many better goal scorers there were in the NHL. And I think he may have been penalized for hanging around so long.
Well, 640 goals. That's tough to argue with. Maybe not impossible to argue with. Also, he changed late in his career. He was no longer the effective goal scorer, but he became a captain. He was always a pretty good penalty killer, and he could do that. He could do other things. And I remember Game 7, third period, late against Calgary, and he was out there taking a defensive zone faceoff that he drew into the corner, and the Lightning cleared the puck and ended up winning that game, and I thought, wow, is that the Dave Andrichuk that we used to see? And the answer is no. There are similarities with Andrichuk and Recchi. They were both compilers, I think, more than comets, like Paul Kariya, who streaked across the NHL, and Solani, who's maybe Haley's comet. Because we're not going to see too many more like the Finnish Flash. But you look at what Recchi did as well, Dr. Mark Recchi, and we've discussed that, have we yet?
Whenever we have him on the show, which is usually a couple of times a year, somebody wants me to ask him about it. Yeah.
Okay. In Montreal, he was a Canadian, but after the Max Pacioretty thing in 2011, and oh yeah, Pacioretty's he's not hurt seriously. We still call him Dr. Mark Recchi. Recchi had 1,533 points, which is 12th all time. And if you use fancy stats, adjusted points, he would rank 8th all time, if you take into account the era that he played in. It was longevity. If a man plays 1,000 games in the NHL and puts up 1,000 points, that is quite a career. Well, Mark Recchi had a career and a half, and Andrichuk's points are pretty close to that. So you can look at those two of the male players who are in as compilers, and you can look at Solani and Kariya in a different way.
Well, interesting, the Andrichuk comparison, because, you know, I'll always, put the Hockey Hall of Fame alongside the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Just
sure.
In terms of this discussion about whether a guy deserves to be in or not. And I think that's what happened to Goose Gossage. You know, once you put a relief pitcher in, you couldn't keep Goose Gossage out. But I think he was penalized because he spent the last several years of his career as a setup guy. He couldn't throw as hard, but he was still effective, but he was no longer dominant. However, he was dominant for a prolonged period of time, so he was a Hall of Famer.
And I covered him with the Yankees in 78 when he came over and supplanted Sparky Lyle as the closer. And it's a couple years now. I was going through an old scorebook from the 70s, and two things struck me. One, time of game, 218, 232. The other thing was the relievers that were used. When Gossage came in, he was pitching 2 1/3.
Right.
And that jumped out at me right away. Gossage was terrific and dominant in a short period of time. Paul Kariya was a first or second All-Star team, three-time first All-Star, two-time second All-Star in an eight-year period, at a time when the other left-wingers in the league, the good left-wingers, were Brendan Shanahan, who's in the Hall of Fame, Keith Kachuk, who isn't, John LeClair, Kevin Stevens. These were good left-wingers, and yet Kariya was the guy. If you are the dominant player at your position for a substantial period of time, and I consider five All-Stars mentions in 8 years that, clearly Kariya's a Hall of Famer. Now, we know what happened to him late in his career and concussions. He was a two-time Olympic representative for Canada, once before the NHL players got there in Lillehammer, and again in 02, part of the team that ended Canada's 50-year drought. He would have been a key figure on the 98 team. It would have been the greatest story of the games because of his Japanese ancestry. And Gary Suter, the man who hurt Wayne Gretzky in the 91 Canada Cup, did it again and crushed Kariya. He missed the rest of that season. And talking to Bob Clark, the GM of the team, Bob Clark's on that committee as well, he said there was no doubt that Kariya would have been a key figure on that team. So
let me just jump in. Two-time 100-point seasons. The other season, he had 99 points in just 69 games. He played 989 games in his NHL career in the regular season and had 989 points.
You like that symmetry, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too. And he also won two Lady Bings. And you look at some of the people who've won Lady Bings, you know, that's a pretty cool thing as well. Paul was a little bit of a different cat. If he took 100 shots with his forehand, he would take 100 shots with his backhand. He did not drink. He had his own chef early on at a time that this wasn't really being done. He was so dedicated to the game. He was also very superstitious. Late in his career, he's playing for Nashville, and he would always, like so many players, have to take the same root to the rink and do all the same things. Well, one night there was some kind of function, and Val, his longtime girlfriend, needed to go there as well. She said, well, I'll just go with you. He said, no, I always go alone. Well, you know, come on, drop him in the rink, and then we'll do this. No. Finally, it ended up he would agree to take her only if she sat in the back seat and lay down on the back seat so nobody could see her. True story.
Oh, goodness. So I don't know if you can answer this, Michael.
Yep.
But let's just say for the sake of discussion, Andrei Markov plays another 2 years with the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
And there's no significant drop-off in his production, much like what we saw this year. And maybe they actually win a cup. You got to use your imagination.
Okay.
Maybe they win a cup in the next year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a serious Hall of Fame candidate?
I think he probably has to take a number. If just we're on the subject of Russian defensemen, Sergei Zubov
led the Rangers in scoring the year they won the cup.
He did. Won a cup there, won a cup in Dallas. So he's a two-time cup winner. Sergei Zubov is one of the smartest players I've ever seen. And Ken Hitchcock, pretty bright coach, called him the brightest player he's ever coached. Sergei Zubov isn't in the Hall of Fame. Sometimes players get stacked up. There are only 4 slots for male players every year. Sometimes, for various reasons, not all of those slots are filled. Maybe some years they shouldn't be filled. Maybe there aren't deserving people, but sometimes players get left out and have to wait perhaps longer than they should. So, without going into what I can't go into, I would certainly listen to arguments for Andrei Markov, but I'm wondering if there aren't people ahead of him in the queue.
All right, so let's finish up with Markov, Radulov, two unrestricted free agents, Galchenyuk, restricted free agents, even forgetting about Carey Price and the new deal they're working on with him. Where are the Canadiens right now, in your opinion?
We won't know until July 5th or so, until we see after July 1st how this shakes out. It's what I've been saying about the rush to judgment on the Drouin trade. We don't know how the dominoes are going to fall from that. You know, in theory, yeah, that's a pretty good trade, even though I'm talking to some GMs. You know, they think Sergachev is going to be an absolute horse. Drouin, we can see what a nifty player he is. Right now, Montreal needs left defensemen. Maybe Carl Alsner fits the bill. I don't know. I'd be a little bit wary of him. The guy I would love to get is Nate Schmidt, but I think so would 25 other teams. So let's see how Bergevin patches these holes. Right now, the Canadiens, to me, look like a leaky roof, and Bergevin has only so many buckets, and he keeps kind of moving them around to try to patch the holes. We will see. Is there enough money left for Radulov? Can Markov get the 2 years that he's looking for? We don't know that. Who's the left defenseman? And clearly somebody who's got to play in the top four. Schlemko is not a second-pair defenseman. So I'm going to withhold judgment. So you can take a snapshot of the team, but it's going to change in a week. So it's really not worth dealing with.
Every time he touches a puck, people are going to be exhilarating. It's going to be great for the fan base, something we alluded to when they got him. But they got to make sure they get him a puck. That's the big part for the Canadiens now, making sure they get the right people to get him a puck.
Talking about Jonathan Drouin, who's he talking about? Same guy that Michael Farber is talking about, a player to be named later. Thanks, Michael.
Good talk.
Always a treat after Hall of Fame voting. We'll talk to you on Monday. Okay. Michael Farber of Sports Illustrated and, of course, CJAD, and with us every Monday at 6:05.